Katram karne vishnuyama devaha Bhadram pashye makshabhirya chatraha Sthirairangai istishtuvagum sastanubihi Yashema devahi kanyatayuhu Swastina indro vrittashravaha Swastina pusha vishvavedaha Swasti nastaraksho arishtanemihi Swasti no brahaspatir tatatu Om Shanti 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 Hi.
On verse 6, the last section.
Vedanta vijnana sunishchitartaha Vedanta vijnana sunishchitartaha Sanyasa yoga dhyataya shuddha sattvaha Sanyasa yoga dhyataya shuddha sattvaha Te brahma lokeshu parantakale Te brahma lokeshu parantakale Paramrita parimuchanti sarve Paramrita parimuchanti sarve.
This last section is dealing with the phala, the fruit of this knowledge, or the jnani, is the sandhi. One who has this knowledge. So. Vedanta, vijnana, sunishchita parittaha sannyasa yoga yogat sorry sannyasa yogat yatayah shuddha sattvaha te brahma lokeshu para anta kale para anta kale para amritaha parimuchanti sarve.
This first compound is beautiful. Vedanta vijnana sunishchitartaha. It's a bahuvrihi compound. It means those people in the nominative plural, those ones who they're going to be talking now about the yetis, the sannyasis, the jnanis. So those people for whom the meaning, the artha means meaning. The word artha can be meaning or purpose, or it can be the object of something. Like for instance, the name for an object like a table or a chair or something is padartha, means the meaning of the word. So if I have the word table, that's the pada. The word is the pada. The meaning, the object of the word is the padartha. Right? So the object of the word table is the table, right? So the padartha, the object of the word chair, is the chair itself. So here, the artha that we're talking about is the Vedanta Vijnana, right? That knowledge, that direct immediate knowledge of the Vedanta, given by the Vedanta. So Vedanta Vijnana, Sunishchita. Sunishchita means that artha, the Brahman, which has been clearly ascertained. Nishchita means your knowledge is very clear, doubt-free, right? So Vedanta Vijnana Sunishchitartaha. The ones for whom the artha, the Brahman, has been clearly ascertained, as has been known through the Vedanta Vijnana. The Vijnana is the direct, immediate aparoksha jnana, the direct cognition. So that direct cognition through the Vedanta, so the artha, Brahman, which has been directly known through the Vedanta, is sunishchitaha. It means it's totally free from doubt. And so Swamiji, and so we're talking about now the person, those people who have this type of knowledge, where I recognize aham brahmasmi, I am Brahman. And I know it, I see it, and I have no doubts. Now, Swamiji in his Bhasha has a very nice commentary on this, because with the Vedanta as a pramana, you know, the clarity of knowledge that you have comes from the activity of the pramana. Like, for instance, if my eyes now are looking and I see this painting, and there's nothing in the way, my eyes are not jaundiced, the light is good, so that I can say, this is a painting. I might have a doubt about who the painter is. I have to do some inquiry. That's the sunisthita. I need to know a little bit more about the painting to be satisfied. I see the painting. I may have some doubts around the painting. Those doubts have to be satisfied, whatever the doubts may be. Okay? But the pramana is that I see this painting. So now for you, say as the student, you recognize I am Brahman. You see it clearly. And then, but what about this and what about that? You see it, but there's some doubts. Whatever doubts are there, those doubts have to be clarified. So the ones who have seen, recognized, I am Brahman, I am the whole, and have had all of their doubts clarified. So Vedanta Vijnana. Jnanam means knowledge. Vijnanam is this particular knowledge, is this Vishesha Jnanam. This particular knowledge of Aham Brahmasmi. It's not really a knowledge, it's like any other knowledge. Any other knowledge that you gain is either going to basically be Pratyaksha or Paroksha. That means is any knowledge that I gain in the world, right, I'm going to either have a direct perception of it through my sense organs, like through my eyes or through my ears. That's pratyaksha. I have a direct, immediate cognition of the object of knowledge. Or I can even have what we call sakshi bhasya, an emotion that comes up into my mind, right? Or a fantasy I might have. Or some other type of otherworldly experience. Those are also direct, immediate cognitions that come and go, and they're cognitions that are not of me. They're cognitions of an object on a subtle level or an object on a physical level. So I can have direct, but there's still a direct perception. Like if I have my eyes open right now, I am having a direct, immediate experience of this room or whatever my eyes are falling on. Right? I can also gain indirect knowledge, for instance, reading a book or if somebody tells me about an experience they had. I'm not having the experience, but it's being described to me. And most of our knowledge is that, really. The majority of our knowledge is indirect knowledge, what we've gained through reading and through study and through what has been passed on to us. So we have that type of knowledge. Also, knowledge of something other than me. But the Vedanta, the knowledge that the Vedanta has to give, is knowledge of me, not knowledge of my sense organs, not knowledge of the thoughts in my mind. These are all objects. Not knowledge of the body. This, again, is an object that actually requires sense perception, subject-object. Not knowledge of the objects of perception in the world. But knowledge of me, the subject that is already here present as the conscious being that illumines all knowledge. I already am the conscious me, the conscious being that silent being, that silent awareness that is present to all experience. It's knowledge of that. That's the Vedanta Vijnana. So the Vedanta has to hold up a mirror, in a sense, to remove from you all of the objects that you have superimposed on your being, the one that illumines them. You've superimposed the mind on the self that illumines the mind. You've superimposed, right, the sense organs on the self that illumines the sense organs. Right? Because of my awareness, I'm aware of my sense organs and what they see. Because of myself, I'm aware of the mind and whatever thoughts are in the mind. So what has to happen now is I need the viveka. The Shastra is going to provide me with that viveka to recognize the self that is already present, self-evident, And so my mind isn't going to give me the experience of myself, like it gives me the experience of the painting, or it gives me the experience of a memory or a thought or an emotion. Right? It's not that. The experience is already here. And so now it's a matter of recognition. So the Shastra has to point out to me, has to point myself out to me, and then reveal the nature of that self in reference to all of my experiences that come and go. So that's the Vedanta Vijnana. It's a direct, immediate knowledge that we call aproksha. It's not away from me, and it's not an object of perception. It's a self-evident knowledge that has to be recognized. It's a recognition of what is already here. And so that Vedanta Vijnana, that direct immediate knowledge through the Vedanta, right, that artha, the subject matter of that knowledge is what Brahman aham Brahmasmi, I am Brahman. Right? That artha, which is known through the Vedanta Vijnana, which has to be recognized, has to be free from doubt. Right? So whatever doubts get in the way of those that recognition, that has to be worked through with manam in manana, you know, through inquiry. And then that person and that knowledge, such a person, their knowledge is complete. So it says here, so Vedanta Vijnana Sunishtitartaha, those people, Yatiyaha is the main noun in the sentence. Sannyasa Yogat Yatiyaha. The Yeti is traditionally, it really comes from the root yam, and it means the one who strives. The Yetis are the ones who strive, the ones who make effort. What in reference to this knowledge? It means they're the mumukshus, they're the sannyasis. The one for whom this knowledge is primary. That person is a Yeti. Can be called a sannyasi, you could also say karma yogi. It's the spirit of sannyasa where you've actually taken the orange or you have sannyasa by guna. What that means is that what is primary for you is this knowledge. Not that you don't do other things, but this is all other things really become a sadhana for this recognition. That person is a yeti. So that yeti, sannyasa yoga in the ablative, from this yoga of sannyasa, really, sannyasa is either going to be, it's twofold. Sannyasa really means renunciation. Through renunciation, to the ones whose knowledge is clear, sannyasa yoga, those who have made proper effort, whose knowledge is clear, through the sannyasa yoga, sannyasa yoga means either for the karma yogi, the sannyasa, the renunciation of karmapala, the fruits of karma. What that means is, this is basically the difference between sannyasa and karma yoga. As a karma yogi, I fulfill my desires and I do my duties, accepting the results as prasad from the Lord. So the renunciation is in reference to the pola. In other words, it's this type of a renunciation. This is another place where a lot of confusion comes in around karma yoga. I do an action because because I want to achieve something. Let's take it that way. I want to achieve this so that I can be happy. I want this so that I can be happy. I'm also studying. Okay? I'm also gaining this knowledge. But I want this and I want that and I'm working things out. Okay. With what attitude do I approach my desires or my duties? I go for them fully, dharmically but fully. And I recognize that I don't have control over the results. I let Ishwara have the control over the results that he has. In other words, it's a reality. I understand that reality. And I accept the results of my actions as prasad from the Lord. which means now I'm in dialogue with Ishvara. That's the prasada buddhi. It gives my mind a shanti, a samatva. For the jnani, there's a renunciation of the karma itself. It's not that renunciation of the karma is not at all that you don't do karma. You can't have a body. You can't have a body, mind, sense organs, and not do karma. You have to do karma. You have to feed yourself. You have to do whatever is in front of you to be done. You have to carry out your duties. But there's nothing in you that says, I need this in order to be happy. Okay? That's the difference. And so in that sense, there's a vairagya. I don't need to do this in order to be happy. I do this because it's there to be done. I do this because I want to do it, but if I don't do it, I'm fine. That's vairagya in reference to the karma itself. For the karma yogi, there's vairagya in reference to the karma pala. Right? Whereas I want to do this action, I want the result, but I accept the result as prasad from the Lord. And so you can take it either way. Sannyasa yoga is going to be applicable either to the karma for the sannyasi or to the karma pala for the karma yogi. And in both cases, the result of that is shuddha sattvaha. Shuddha sattva means the vantakaran of the mind. The mind becomes pure. What they mean by pure, another big word. How am I ever going to have a pure mind? Because it's another spiritual word. Pure mind. It means a mind that's free of raga dvesha, likes and dislikes. Okay, that's another problem. How can a mind be free of likes and dislikes? It can't be free of likes and dislikes. The mind will always have preferences. Like Swamiji always tells the story of the South Indian, you know, preferring the idlis, and the North Indian preferring the chapatis, the two swamis. Both big mahatmas. They were being served, you know, served their meals, and the South Indians were supposed to get the idlis and the North Indians were supposed to get the chapatis, and they got them mixed up. The preference was there. I would rather have the idli than the chapati. Yeah. But if it's not convenient to switch and make a trade, I'll just eat the chapati. Okay. It's that simple, you know. So preference is there, but the ragas are there, the preferences are there, the dveshas are there, the things that you don't prefer are there too. But they're called dugdha bijas, they're burnt seeds. In other words, they don't have the capacity to make you miserable. What makes you miserable is how your mind responds to the situation. How does your mind respond to not getting your way? That's the whole thing, because for the jnani, say for both the karma yogi and for the sannyasi, in either case, there's an objectivity. There's an objectivity that allows me, because for the karma yogis, there's the prasada buddhi. And for the jnani, there's just a vairagya where there's no superimposition of ananda. Right? And so the mind abiding in ananda accepts the situation. Okay, so I was trying to get to this in the meditation, but then I was realizing that it would become a class. So I stopped. Okay. I stopped halfway. Now I'm going to finish it. When Swamiji will use this word a lot, I use it a lot also. Every single word we use has to be understood. Say if you say the jnani accepts the situation. This is, we're on Shuddha Sattvahana. You accept the situation. What does that mean? That your mind doesn't get upset by the situation. So the silence of your own being, the being resting in the silence of your own being, it acknowledges the situation as it is. Not getting flustered and engaged in the situation in a flustered way. But it acknowledges the situation as it is. And then acknowledging it as it is, you take action to improve it if you can. You take action to do what you can to make the situation better. And while you're taking action to make the situation better if you can do that, the mind maintains its objectivity. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's such a simple thing once you kind of get the hang of that. Because either way, you can, in an upset way, try to remedy the situation, or you can be relaxed and try to remedy the situation. If you're relaxed and try to remedy the situation, then you have shanti, and you have objectivity, and you have energy to do what you can. If you're upset in the situation, then you don't have any shanti, you're miserable, and you're not at your best in trying to remedy the situation. In either case, you're not Ishvara. What I mean by that, from the whole, you are Ishvara, but as a jiva, you're not Ishvara. And that means that you don't have all power over the situation for it to just be in the form that you would like it to be in. And so since that's the reality, that we can't make the situation, we're not the one who can make the situation, create the situation to be as we want it to be, our freedom isn't going to lie there. The freedom is in the fact that myself is changeless Ananda, and that the situation can't take that away from me. It can't touch it, in fact. And that changeless Ananda wholeness, which is what all beings seek, which is my very self, the mind is never at any moment away from it. It is the very content, the very self of the mind. Right? And so when the mind knows that, for a jnani, one who's had a chance to really assimilate this knowledge, the mind revels there and then deals with the world as it's presented to me. I engage in my prarabdha, the karmas that gave me this life. I engage fully in those duties, the things that just present themselves to be done. This is my life. I engage in my life, and it's right here to be engaged in. And for the karma yogi, I have my likes and dislikes, things that I need to be happy. But I accept those things as prasad. I do what I do. There's that kartritvam, there's that doership there. But I accept everything as prasad from the Lord. That again allows the mind peace, right? And space. Swamiji will use the word space a lot. And space, all space means, we use it in psychology also, Winnicott uses it all the time, inner space. In a way, there's an inner space. There's a space inside, right, from which I can do these actions, from which I can engage. And so that space has the shanti. That's what we call Shuddha Sattvaha. It's not where the mind is Shuddha, the mind is pure. It's free of, instead of saying free of raga dvesha, free of likes and dislikes, you can say it is free of the hold of likes and dislikes. It is free of the hold of likes and dislikes. So the likes and dislikes don't drag me around. It doesn't mean that I like this, if I don't get my way, I'll be miserable. Since I'd like this, I would prefer, if I don't get that my way, that's fine. That's free of the hold. The likes and dislikes being there, that my mind is able to maintain that shanti. So now he says, so these first two lines are setting up exactly who these people are. So these yetis, these sannyasis, who from this sannyasi yoga buddhi, from this attitude, their mind being shuddha sattvaha, pure, these people who have knowledge of the self as Brahman, whose knowledge is clear. So now it says, for such people, they, te, brahmalokeshu parantakale. They, parantakale, at the end of their life, but now, for an ordinary, so now we're talking about the jnanis, what we call jivan muktas, people who are liberated living, whose knowledge is firm, and they've worked through all of their raga dveshas, whatnot. The mind doesn't throw them, doesn't take them for a ride anymore. When a normal person who doesn't, not normal, person who doesn't have, because people who have knowledge are normal also, but, so for a person who doesn't have knowledge, when their physical body dies, okay, the subtle body continues to transmigrate. So it'll take another birth, right, and another birth, and another birth, and another birth. When the jnani dies, that's called parantakale. It's the final death. Because the sukshma sharira also goes back to its elements. Because the ajnanam has been removed, the ignorance has been removed, the antakarana, that sense of I, belonging to the jiva, belonging to the mind, to the sense organs and all of this, that also is no longer here. The sanchitta karmas, there's no one to identify with them. So when the physical body dies and the prarabdha has run out, there is no more transmigration. There is no more transmigration in terms of being a jiva, taking birth after birth after birth, for the one who is full of in knowledge. So for those people, parantakale, at this final end, when this body drops and the subtle body also dissipates because of their knowledge, then where do they go? Brahmalokeshu. They go to Brahmaloka. Now here, the world of Brahman. They say they go to the world of Brahman, meaning what? This space, this place, what is the place? What is the place of Brahman? The place of Brahman that they go to when they're free of physical body, free of subtle body, what is the place of Brahman? It means just Brahman itself. Why do they say loka? Because Brahman is pure consciousness. Brahman is its own experience. So that's why they say loka, the Brahma loka, the place of Brahman, the experience of Brahman. Not experience as subject-object, but the being of Brahman is consciousness, is me. And so when the body drops, the subtle body drops, there is no more nama-rupa, there's no more name and form, there's no more limitation. What is left? Myself is Brahman, myself is the whole. And so if myself is the whole without identification with an upadi, with a limited upadi, then what is that? If I say now I am just Brahman, I'm not a limited upadi, what does that mean then? I am Brahman, and who is Brahman? Brahman is Ishvara, the whole. Whatever Brahman is, in reference to this Maya Upadi, Brahman is Ishvara. There's no Ishvara away from Brahman. Brahman is the self of Ishvara. Right? And so then I become the whole. How I like to explain this for people to really understand. In dream you experience yourself sometimes as a jiva within the dream, your character within the dream. Right? Sometimes you experience yourself as the whole dream. You haven't taken a character. And then you'll take a character. Then you won't have a character. When you have a character, whether now look at this. You have a dream, there's no character. At that time, you are the whole. Say, yeah, I'm the whole. I am the self from whom the dream has come, who sustains the dream, and to whom the dream goes back. When the dream is there, then that is me. When the dream is resolved, that is me. I'm not dependent on the presence or absence of the dream, but when the dream is there, I am the dream. Okay? Everybody with me on that? I've had plenty of dreams, I'm sure, without taking a character in the dream. just a, you could have, if there could be many, many characters in the dream, like a whole city in the dream, but you're not identified with the character, you're just the whole. Okay? Now you're Ishwara, that's Ishwara. Now say, in the dream, you have taken a character. Okay? You are still Ishwara. Right? It's not as though it's somebody else's dream. You've taken a character there, but now that character thinks, I am a limited being. From the standpoint of that character, I'm a limited being. Okay? But the truth is, I'm the whole. Who doesn't know it? The character. That character. Or any other characters. Now what if that character is limited, is liberated? Now it's living liberated. Say that character gets knowledge, it's living liberated. Now it's walking around in the dream knowing, even though I'm experiencing this world through my sense organs, I am the whole. But from the standpoint of this body, it's still going to be experiencing the world. Right? But when that body drops, dies, then what is the experience? Whatever the experience is that is there, the whole. So I am, because, look at it this way. Whether the universe is there or not, I am the stable one. Right? I don't go anywhere. If the universe is here, it's here. And I am the self of it. If the universe is not here, it's not here. And I am the self. Right? So the universe comes from me, is sustained by me, resolves into me. From my standpoint, I am just the whole. Now you might think, it might sound strange, but it isn't strange. In your experience in the dream, you don't freak out when you're the whole. It's absolutely natural to you. As is being a character in the dream. But either way is natural. Because both are you. It doesn't make any difference. The difference it makes, though, is from the standpoint of the individual within the dream or within the universe, that individual jiva suffers. Because self-ignorance is there and that jiva doesn't know I'm the whole. It thinks, since it knows that the body dies, I'm going to die. If the mind changes in the way it thinks, sometimes it's unhappy, oh my God, I'm unhappy. Sometimes it's happy, oh my God, I'm happy and I know it's not going to last. Right? This is what we call samsara. It's all totally ignorance. There's no recognition. There's no recognition, there's no viveka to allow that creature, that character, in the dream or in the universe, to recognize the constant me. The jnani recognizes the constant me. In fact, I am the constant me. It says never time that it's not in the forefront. The constancy of my being is always in the forefront. And all of this activity is there too. But it doesn't cover over the constancy of my being. So those people who have the strength of knowledge, for them, at the time of death, there is only the world of Brahman. It's also interesting. Brahmaloka really means there's just Brahman there. But to say Brahmaloka is also to say Ishwara. There is only Ishwara. Because that is what you are. You are Ishwara. You are Brahman with this Maya capacity to project the whole creation. Right now, you're lost in Jivatvam. Brahman isn't lost. Your being is not lost. Nothing changes. Just like when meditation, we listen to all the clatter. Nothing happens to you. You're absolutely still, absolutely untouched. If your mind gets involved in the clatter, the mind is creating pain for itself, you're still. You're absolutely still. You're absolutely untouched. What if your mind doesn't create pain for it, get involved in the clatter, just kind of recognizes it for what it is and sits in myself? Fine. Then you're a good, you know, sannyasi. Right? As a karma yogi, you can take actions to change things, but you have that space. It's all very, 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 very simple once this constancy is recognized. It's recognized, then the whole universe goes on about its business is Ishwara. You know, and you appreciate yourself as part of that. So here, at the time of death, for these jnanis, all that is there is Brahma, Brahma Loka, myself as Ishwara. Then what do they say? Paramrtaha. They become paramrtaha. Para means Brahman. Amrtaha means free from death. They become ones who, they are Brahman, limitless, free from death. Paramrtaha. Parimuchanti sarve. They are being paramrtaha. They are all of them parimuchanti. They are all completely liberated. Much means to liberate. Parimuchanti, amuchanti means liberated from all sides. There is nothing that harms or touches them. Which is the truth right now. That's the reality right now. That's why, you know, when you have a, when there's noise outside or there's some sort of distraction where you can just, it becomes so obvious to see how untouched you are. Right? Nothing is changing you in any way. That's the reality. But the pain is caused by the mind. The mind is the one that's in pain that doesn't recognize that. Right? The mind is the one that doesn't recognize, in fact, that I am Brahman, that I am changeless, that I am limitless. And so it's that mind that's suffering. That's why these are all being put in the plural, because Brahman is only one. Right? This is all in the Sanskrit here, it's all put in the plural. Because each individual is covered by ignorance. Each individual has the same self. Each individual has to be able to say, I am the whole. But there's only one whole. So the whole that I am is you. But each one of us has our own ignorance that we have to deal with. And it's each one of us has to recognize, I am the whole. And it's not recognizing it as an intellectual equation. It's recognizing the truth of that intellectual equation. Right? That's why Vedanta Vijnana Sunishtitartaha, that artha, which is Brahman, Sunishtita, it has to be ascertained free from doubt. That artha, which is the knowledge taught in the Vedanta, in the Upanishads, of Brahman, that has to be recognized and has to be free from doubt. So those people who have that Shuddha Sattvaha, whose mind is pure from Karma Yoga, Sannyasa Yoga, who have gained this knowledge, right? The two help each other too. The Karma Yoga, the Vairagya, that disciplined life, helps to prepare this mind to be able to hold this knowledge. What we were talking about earlier before the class, that relative shanti through Dharma, through Karma Yoga. That relative peace of mind. And for the person who's committed, that relative peace gives the mind the capacity to be able to hear, to be able to see. And so for those people who then gain that mind that is so free, Shuddha Sattva, that mind that is so free and are rooted in this knowledge, for those people, there is nothing but Brahman. And at the time of death, there is no more reincarnation. There's just abiding as the whole that I am. Right? So for such people, being paramrtaha, param Brahman, recognizing themselves as param Brahman, parimuchanti, they are completely freed, right? At the time of death and before. Yeah. Okay, let's stop there. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate Om Shanti 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 Harihi Om Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Harihi Om.